Our text for this morning is found on page 586 of your Pew Bible, if you wish to follow along with me. It is Isaiah 1, verses 10 through 20. Again, that's found on page 586, if you wish to follow with me. Listen now and hear God's word for you. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and in the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity in solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Remove the evil from your doing, for before my eyes cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me, Lord? Loving God, we are thankful for these, your words, written by the prophet for the people of Israel and applicable to us now as we consider them speak to us through your Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. In the wake of violence in places like Connecticut, North Carolina, Texas, Oklahoma, Chicago, Florida, Dayton, to just name a few, the popular justification that people used to explain it away was, and we heard this, at least that's not happening here. That's how many people in this world solve hard problems. They say it's someone else's problem, thereby ridding themselves of the burden. Until one of those events happened here, didn't it? Squirrel Hill. Sadly, that choice doesn't solve anything, but it defers action to a later date. I stood right down there and led you in silent prayer after the Tree of Life shooting. It felt like at that time all we could do was bow our heads and plead with God to do something. I remember sitting in my living room that morning, that Saturday, listening to KDKA News, wondering, what are you up to in this, God? Or what are you not up to in this, God, that needs to be lifted? Something over there became something here. I remember later that weekend seeing the youth from the Tree of Life Synagogue trying to make sense of what happened by leading an impromptu prayer service on the streets of Squirrel Hill. And in their disorganization that night, I saw what we see when evil erupts. People trying to make sense of what honestly cannot be explained away with big concepts alone, like sin or choice or evil. Something over there had become something here. That idea is what the first chapter of Isaiah addresses as well. As the Israelites begin to come to terms with God's word and the punishment for idolatry and sin that are close at hand. Beginning in verse 9, which is outside of our text today, the people are using that same mental justification as they remember Sodom and Gomorrah. It looks like this. But Isaiah's audience are people in the present moment who have used Sodom and Gomorrah as a consolation. Strange choice, I would say. They say, we have been battered, Isaiah 1, 5, and 6, but we're not obliterated. Our earth has been scorched, verse 7, but life still takes roots here. When God brought judgment on those ancient cities, none survived, but some of us are still standing. So at least we're not like them. Verse 9, it's a problem over there. It's not something we have to deal with. The prophet cuts through that rationalizing self-assurance that has failed to reckon with the serious crimes Israel and Judah are dealing with. Isaiah counters their self-deceptive logic with an unexpected statement. You can stop consoling yourselves, people of Isaiah. You're just like them. It's no longer a problem over there. It's a problem here. The pathway forward is clear. When we try to make the problems of life someone else's problem, associate it with an over there type moment, we stop seeing the role the church can play and is called to play in helping and healing and being with the people who fall victim to evil and the pain that evil brings into their lives. As our text begins today, God is the one who is active. The people who wrongly believed that they could sin and not reap its consequences begin to hear what happens when they turn from God and essentially reap what they sow. The prophet begins in the first subsection of chapter 1 by mentally challenging the status quo. He no longer wants them to worship as they have worshiped because that comes from a heart that is full of idolatry and selfishness, not true worship and submission to God. God's lack of delight in burnt and blood offerings cannot be undersold, as it is the way that God himself defines the relationship with the Israelites as far back in their history as Moses and Aaron. This is no longer satisfactory to God because something in God's mind is missing from the people, missing from the church. Then, as we continue to look at the text, God becomes active against the people. He will no longer endure their worship. Verse 11. Worship was for generations the place where the holy presence of God intersected with humanity. In worship, a gap was bridged because God found a way, through the Levitical sacrificial system, certainly, to welcome sinful people back to his presence. Now, though, as Isaiah is being written and delivered, the words that were never thought they would hear, they are in fact hearing now. God is weary of them, verse 14. He is hiding himself and his eyes from what they are doing, verse 15. God no longer wants to be close to his people. This is hard language because God, up until this point, has defined his relationship with them in a totally different way. But this no longer satisfies. Their sin is too great. They need to examine themselves. Stop seeing that the problems of life are someone else's problem. It's an over there moment. And begin to seriously look at themselves and reckon themselves and decide for themselves, how is it we have sinned? How is it we have broken God's law? What have we done wrong? And in this, a way forward exists. That way, according to God's word, is through a multifaceted ministry that seeks to care for those of the community who are in need. Not just with programming, but with presence and attention. For you see, when we label societal problems as someone else's issue to deal with, we become passive in the restoration and transformation that is necessary in Christ Jesus. Our faith is no longer active. It is no longer at work. It's no longer needed. Sharing the gospel and its healing message stops. The mission, the calling, is put in a sort of stasis mode. To return to the image I began with, we will break the glass when something horrible happens close to home to care and support for another person. But will we come running together when a need arises outside of here? I'm not minimizing our response to tragedy as the church, but I wonder, where is God calling us to be and become more for the community? I don't need to organize a rally to combat whatever politically charged issue is present in our country. But perhaps, using Isaiah 1 in the verses 16 and 17, I am called to do something. Here's what it says again. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Well, the temptation exists as we consider this list to turn it into a politically charged marching cry. I think God is instead saying, when you find those in the community, in your family, in your extended church family, people who are hurting and feel beaten down by life, do not pass by them. Do not let the problem be their problem alone. Instead, notice what can happen when the two of you, the church and the community, form and improve upon a relationship. This takes us to the famous words that end our text today. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Forgiveness and restoration come in this text when the problems of life stop being someone else's problem and we participate in the fix in another person's life. We don't have to fix or heal anything, for we are not God, but we join together with them. We lead together with them toward God. In many ways, this is what we're going to be doing when the 16 members of the service team travel to Nepal. The Nepalese people will have issues and struggles long after we fly home, just as they will have them long before we arrive. But in our time together, we form a relationship of solidarity with God and with them. We work shoulder to shoulder with these people, not just to pass the time or to relax in their homes, but actively helping to improve a relationship and encouraging one with the divine to grow, even if we do not directly evangelize. I would love to think that when the mission team from Plains leaves Alam, the things will be so wonderfully different, it will look like a whole new city. But I don't know if that's possible outside of God. Instead, as I sit with these people, as I work with them, as I listen to them, their struggles become my struggles. I see and I struggle with them. I sit with them. I dwell with them. I find the people of God's creation and I choose solidarity with them. I choose to identify with what they struggle with. The people of Isaiah and anyone finding this text has the choice as to how to address the problems they encounter in life. They can say it is someone else's problem. They can push it off, move it to the side. Or they can see that societal, communal problems are just that. Struggles that each and every one of us in society and in community deal with. God wants us to work for those who cannot work for themselves. And by doing so, healing is possible. Restoration happens. And your sins become as white as snow. Let us pray together.